In the basement of the mud flap house, bluffing and poo, and they're underwear, thingies and news, and poo licks herself, and flap contemplates manly things. He thinks about guns and trucks and stooges three, men and boys, and that doesn't sound right. He thinks about boobs and bacon and power tools. Come with me, let your mask you lead. Oh, won't you come with me and remask you lead?
Aloha, Mud Babies, Pod People, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew, in the cabin of the Celebrity Cruise Line. This is the Silhouette. There's a lot of them. I'm always confused by which ship we're on when I say, John, which ship is it? It's a big one. Look for the big ship. But they just tell the cab to take you to the big ship. They'll know which one it is. It's a big ship. So we're sitting in the room here. I've got John Payton is in the room. He's digging through something in his briefcase here. What are you looking for?
My video camera.
Video. He's got a video camera thingy this too while we're podcasting the thing here on Remasculate. Did you lose it? Did somebody steal your...
It's so small.
I can't believe you have everything in Crown Royal bags, like high school white trash. That's what...
High school?
That's Crown Royal bag. You know what you can do with a Crown Royal bag?
High school, that's from the cocaine days.
I keep my change in my Crown...
In there.
In my Crown Royal bag, that's right. And,
It's dead.
Oh, it's dead. I thought you were going to have to get a shot of me in the do-rag on the ship. So now... John
is... Are we really doing an interview now?
Yeah, so we're doing it right now. I'm doing it right... We're talking about it. We're on the ship. John, tell the story of the cruise director not appreciating the do-rag that I wore to dinner.
Well, you're supposed to dress nicely on the ship. You're supposed to be a chameleon comic, like cruise ship comics that, you know, are chameleon in the way they dress and chameleon in the way they steal everybody's material.
Uh-huh.
And so when I brought original comics out here, i.e. Steve Mudflap McGrew, it kind of threw the executives off a bit that there's a guy going into a 5-star French restaurant with a do-rag and a wallet with a chain attached to it.
I must say it was one of the nicest restaurants I've ever been in my life. And you guys...
And with our little Puerto Rican Dorima.
Yeah, well, you had just said, come down and meet us for dinner. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm in the room. So I came down, do-rag, black jeans, wallet, chain...
And we had the flambéed lobster Murano and the flambéed everything else.
Amazing.
Flambé.
And then you had the cruise director go, you have to say something.
Yeah. You need to tell him how to dress. And no, dude, he's a character. That's Mudflap. That's the way he dresses. And then when he saw your act, he said, okay, I get it.
Okay, he can walk around the ship like that.
Do whatever you want. He's actually funny.
Well, this is... It's going well. Celebrity and Sim City have become... come together nicely, right? How many ships is it now?
4, but we're cutting back to 3 because they don't want to fly people all the way to Australia this winter. We'll be back to 4 next fall, but possibly 5 next year.
I wanted Australia and Bora Bora, just
so
like you did.
Well, so did I.
I wanted to go take a cruise ship.
Papeete, Bora Bora, Tahiti.
Wherever the
New Zealand.
Topless girls dance on the beach. That's not really real, is it?
Well, that we're going to get Mykonos, Greece here in a couple days.
Oh, really? Oh, no. No, I don't know about this, honey. I've never heard anything about this. I don't know.
Paradise Beach and Mykonos, baby.
No, I don't know anything.
Yeah, good, nice brown Greek girls.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, where does this cruise go? Greece?
I don't know. Where the hell's your fucking...
See, you're like me. My girlfriend asked me, where are you going while you're out? I don't know.
It's a blur to me, dude. You know, I mean, it's like my...
I know it started.
Second straight month on the road. We started in Civitavecchia, which is kind of Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow we go to Naples.
Right.
Which is another shithole.
Uh-huh.
Nice town if you're a can of spray paint. But we're going to get on a ferry and go to the Isle of Capri.
That's supposed to be nice, right?
You said Ferraris that's... live and the Fiats live.
Oh.
Very nice. Then we go to Malta, which I haven't been to in a long time. Looks like we're at a weird time. Then we're at sea. Then we go to Athens, just in time for the riots. And then we go to Mykonos, the island of, you know, remember, everybody's seen pictures making us little white buildings with blue windows.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what...
That's making us.
Oh, nice.
Then we go to Kusadasi, Turkey, which is the home of Ephesus, Turkey, which was the Roman city that Hercules grew up in.
Uh-huh.
And the Virgin Mary died in. And the Turks sell you fake watches and purses.
Mm-hmm. Do the Turks like us? Is this one of the ones that were okay?
Yeah. They want
to we don't go to any country.
Knock off Prada purses and knock off Rolex watches. In fact, they call it genuine fake watches.
Oh, they do. genuine.
One of my favorite oxymorons. Then we go to Rhodes, Greece, which is the oldest still walled-in city in the world. Still has the wall around it from the medieval times.
The whole city does?
Yeah, and still has the castle, the original castle of the Knights of Templar.
Oh, cool.
Go into the
I thought that's what's cool when we come into this port here outside of Rome is that fort is still, you come through the walls there.
Yeah, old shit, man. And then we go to Santorini with the island of the donkeys.
Mm-hmm.
You ever been to Santorini?
No, never even heard of the island of the donkeys.
It's like when you pull in, it's all mountains coming out of the ocean. It looks like snow on top of the mountains, but that's actually the buildings. That's the city.
Way
it's hanging out of the top of the mountains by a thread. And they go. You have to either go up a tramway or you can take a donkey ride up the trail to get to the top of the mountain where the city is. Beautiful place, Santorini. Then we go to Crete, which I've never been to, which has got to be...
Crete sounds like one of those things from the Hercules times and movies.
Isn't that like a former USSR state?
Crete? I don't know. I don't know my...
See, we're beautiful Venice, Italy, baby.
Have you been there?
Love Venice.
Is it
really cool?
How do you know how they actually built those things in the water, or did the water come later? I don't know the whole history of Venice. You know what I mean? Because the water is
James Bond movies, are
right? That's all I know. But they're like, how did they push the water away to build it, or did they build it one day? This
is really old and it's really cool. And last time I was there at midnight, we were trying to get back to the ship, me and Cato.
Uh-huh. Mark and David Lucas, we call Cato.
And we got in one of those James Bond limo boats. The guys up front, it's all beautiful wood, mahogany wood boat. And in the back of it's got a little top, flat top on it with the curtains and leather chairs and leather couches in the back. Guns it, goes through Venice at like 35 miles an hour through the...
And people are going, slow down!
Midnight, there's nobody out there. It's like, ding, 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 ding. It was so cool. And I'm like, wow, this is so James Bond. Really cool.
Place. What's that cost?
It was 80 euros.
Which is about 100 and...
About 120 bucks.
Yeah.
For three of us for a 10-minute boat ride.
But it was worth it.
Welcome to Europe.
I know.
The dollar is shit.
It is.
Remember the first day you and I were in Barcelona and I went to pay the cabbie? With a $100 bill, American.
Yeah.
He looked at me like I was trying to hand him a used condom.
What?
It's like, what? Get that fucking shit away from me.
Just a while ago when we were getting off the bus, the shuttle, David threw three American dollars down and he goes, I'm trying to get rid of this trash. Well, early.
It is trash. Here.
Well, it's
trash here. Green trash.
It shocked me at the Denver airport because I thought I'd get a little bit of euros just to have in pocket because I was supposed to meet you guys at the coffee shop at the airport. So I give the lady $100 at the airport, and she gives me back like $60. I'm like, I'm definitely feeling ripped off here. Yeah. 60 euros for 100. Like, wow.
Yeah, America's not.
I'm so used to being the other way around. Like, you do the work somewhere, and you go, look.
We're like the Mexicans of the world now.
No. Everyone would be like, he used to go to Mexico.
Americans. Just... Oh, now they look at us like, fucking Americans.
Yeah.
Sit over there, shut up.
That's 2,000 pesos. Yeah. I mean, now it's like, that's a lot.
Now you got to be a rich American just to be able to afford Europe.
Yeah. So let's find out more, since the listeners here don't know. Let's find out more about John Payden, the comic. How did you get started in comedy?
This weird dude from Denver came down to Albuquerque. No, I'm kidding. open mic night, like everybody else.
Yeah.
In Albuquerque. Laughs Comedy Club opened up in Albuquerque, which that's where you and I met 20-something years ago. And I got in a comedy competition, and Bud Friedman was one of the judges. And he said, hey, you know, you want to be a comic? I'll open you in all the improvs. And the improvs were everywhere at the time. So I got paid to go be an opener. And the middle acts were, you know, Spade and Lewis Black. And the headliners were Seinfeld and Tim Allen, those guys. Like comedy college. And then I moved to California. And started working out the improv and traveling. And then somewhere along the way, got a gig to write on the last season of The Wonder Years. And then went back on the road and decided, well, I'm going to move to Vegas and get off the road, do the comic and show. But at that time, it was all Japanese tourists. So
perfect timing.
They wanted an English-speaking act, so back on the road.
Oh, hold on. There's somebody at the door. Hold on. You can keep. Hold on.
Oh,
he's not.
Sorry.
Oh, hello.
With your jumping, sorry.
Oh, thank you very much.
I forgot your glasses, so I need.
Oh, thank you. We're getting a little bit of something. You just said it right there. Yeah, thank you. We're getting
champagne.
A little bit of champagne. I don't even.
He doesn't drink.
You don't drink champagne?
No, but my friends will.
Okay.
He doesn't drink anything.
Isn't that sad? Look at that. I don't drink, and they bring champagne to the room.
Well,
beautiful.
Don't fall off the wagon on a boat.
Don't fall off the boat. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Nobody can figure out your handicap door.
Oh, it's going to close on you.
That's kind of ironic. Why they put mud flat in my groove in the handicap room?
I was going to come grab the door for
her. Put you in the handicap room.
Okay,
I think they know something.
Champagne and green apples.
Oh.
That's a delicacy in some countries.
In some countries.
Hopefully not this
I'm
one.
I'm missing your champagne glasses. So
well, thank you very much.
Yeah,
wow. And this is all still on the show. See, this is still
going. Oh, we're still taping?
Yeah, it's still going. This is this is how this
way. No wonder you got 12 listeners. This is entertaining.
People, this is what's happening live in the room right now as we watch
the
sunset.
Mediterranean. Sunset on the Mediterranean. The ocean's pink.
It's gorgeous. And it's smooth.
It's flat and smooth. Kind of like anyway.
Now, what got you from
like an altar boy?
What got you from writing for like Wonder? Like you said, you went to Vegas, but what got you to Sin City Comedy Club? What made you go, I have this idea and I should do this?
I've been trying to get out of show business for a while.
Trying to get out.
I didn't want to go back on the road and fuck up my second marriage.
Uh huh.
And I created a company where I had a sports television channel on cell phones.
I remember that.
And everybody was like, you're a fucking idiot. Who's ever going to watch video or
on a phone?
On a cell phone? You're a moron. Cell phones are for talking. Like, okay, well.
But that was right at that time when it was just coming in.
Yeah,
just
that was years before its time. So that company dissolved, and then I went into the porn company where I shot television shows for Spice and Playboy. We shot... I created a Are You Smarter Than a Porn Star?
Uh-huh.
Hosted by Ron Jeremy. And then I created the Adult Star Dating Game, which is a little bit old-style dating game, and Blind Date, the second half.
Uh-huh.
And we followed them on the date, which is kind of fun. And then we did The Nude Chef. And then we did, I think, what it was, we did Nude Workout or something stupid. And that was a stock play. And then the world came to an end, the stock market and the economy and everything came to an end. And I thought, well, you know, here the economy's in a shitter. I'm going to open up a comedy club.
Perfect timing. Well, you know, when economy's bad, people will go for laughs. Club owners I've talked to before, remember the late 70s, the oil boom was down. That's when Houston scene comedy kicked in. Same thing with the 80s. There was a period where it kind of dumped and came back up. And I think now, with the economy bad, people are looking for a laugh.
Well, it worked, and then there wasn't a lot of comedy in Vegas at the time, believe it or not. There was the improv and the comedy stuff, the trop. That was it. So I opened up Sin City Comedy, which I actually bought SinCityComedy.com from a disc jockey kid that was on the Sirius satellite channel of that porn company I was working for. He's like, dude, I'll sell it to you for $100. I go, well, when's it coming up for renewal? In a week. I waited a week, bought it for $9.99. That's the kind of fucking pig I am. So then I sat on it, and then one day I thought, you know, I had been to comic and titty shows in Vegas for 15 years, which is where I met my wife.
Oh,
my wife was a topless showgirl, and came out in a number where three men slid around her, and they tied her up with silks hanging from the ceiling, and then...
And you went, that's the woman for me!
They licked her naked body, and I said, she's going to be the mother of my children. True story. So, when I was in those titty shows, people would come up to me after the show and go, you know, we wish we could have seen more of you, you know, there's only so many ways you can figure out a way to make a woman strip. I thought, one of these days I'm going to flip it and make it comedian-centric and girls in the middle. And then that's how Sin City Comedy came about. And, of course, I got all the detractors who said, oh, well, that's brilliant, but burlesque with comedy. Was that going back to, like, 1950? Actually, it's more like 1850, but, you know.
But it's worked since then.
If you want to take a barb at me, why don't you go back to, you know, use all. But it worked, and we won Best of Vegas, like, because it was more like a show, and it wasn't three guys in front of a brick wall. It's kind of a new concept. It's kind of, you know, kind of makes a show out of it instead of just a comedy club.
Yeah. I figured
everybody's got a comedy club in whatever two-dog town they live in America. Why come to Vegas and see a comedy club?
Right.
You know, make it a show, make it Vegas-y. So then lasted for 3 years in the mall there at the V Theater, and then got a chance to open my own theater in Planet Hollywood. So rolled the dice, spent a shitload of money, built my own theater. It's been open for a year this month in October.
And it's paying the bills.
Paying the bills, and then last January, the entertainment director for Celebrity Cruise Ships came out to play golf with our friend Cato, mm-hmm. David Lucas, and he brought him to the show. The guy said, wow, you know, this would really be cool in this little 210-seat theaters we have on our Solstice-class ships. That we have nothing going on in there, and we could do, instead of just late-night comedy, this is more like a show. This is fun. So can we bring it down from three comics and two girls? I said, yeah, we can make it two comics and one girl. And so, as you know, because you were one of the
first
inaugural comics on board with your do-rag and a
five-star restaurant.
Stories come around all the way around the circle. Yeah, and you killed. And then I've been bringing out comics who are not cruise ship comics. Because I told the Michael Bailey, who's the CEO of Celebrity, last February when I met with him in Miami about doing this. He goes, well, you know, John, what do you think? And I said, I think it's time for cruise ships to grow up. He goes, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, your concept, when you told me this, makes total sense of who's at the track.
Yeah, I go, dude, old people on ships now went to Woodstock and grew up on Pryor and Carlin and Led Zeppelin and the Stones and, you know, enough with the milquetoast shit that you've been serving up to these old people. They're not old people anymore.
But you see the reaction.
They're all hippies.
Like today when you told, don't remember her name, the girl.
The dancer, Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly. We told her today about she was talking about the old people in the ship. And you go, the old people went to Woodstock. She goes, like, oh, yeah. It's like it dawns. It people don't think about it. It just dawns on it when you point it out to them. Like,
people in their 60s.
Oh, yeah.
They
were the ones that did like the rock and roll.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They're people, the ones that dropped acid and watched their fingertips.
You know, the early 60s? I mean, that's 50 years ago.
Right.
So if you're 18 years old 50 years ago, you're 68 years old now. But you were.
Well, we were laughing at the guy that got off the bus today. The old
guy, like 70 years old.
70 had earrings and stuff. You're like, that's who we're talking about right there.
Yeah, it's time for the world to get hip. Quit worrying about old people being ultra conservative.
That was one of my favorite nights on that first week, was when that old guy came out. Remember the old guy? I've been cruising. What did he say?
I've been cruising for 30 years. Finally, a good fucking show.
Yeah, and that was the quote that he used.
It's the president of entertainment was standing there next to me, and he goes, okay, John, I get it.
Do
what you want to do. And then you have the four old ladies in the front row laughing at your T-shirt that never comes off.
Yeah. Just show them your titties when you have sex.
Show them your titties, and they were high-fiving. And,
yeah.
And those guys was giving me shit about your do-rag. He looked at me and he goes, okay, I get it. He's funny as shit. I go, told you. I'm not bringing you cruise ship hacks. These are real comics. And now the cruise ship hacks are worried because you guys are coming out here, and they've probably been doing your best 5 minutes out here and getting away with it for years and getting paid because they're not in a comedy club and they're not being policed by, you know.
Well, that's what there's some of the guys that I know that have been doing the cruise ships that I know are good comics, and they've complained. I've heard them complain about the guys stealing their stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think it's pushing the older, you know, the real cruise ship guys out. There's been some good comics recently, but...
Well, they think it's international waters, so they can get away with stealing material.
Then, you know who I noticed it was? The British, like the British acts and those things. I noticed them doing, like, best of albums. They're on the...
Dave Woody. Heenan, you hack. Yeah.
Did you just say a name?
Yeah, I did.
Did you just call somebody out right there? Oh, okay.
And if I had a few drinks in me, I'd call a few more out. No, and that was part of what I wanted to do was bring real comedy to the masses. I mean, these poor people on these cruise ships have been fed milquetoast material from bad comics to bad production shows.
And well, you've been doing cruise ships, though, for years yourself, though.
So. You're getting fired constantly.
I know, that's what I was going to...
Some of the stories you told. Gig in Rock Raven, I get fired.
That's what you were telling me.
I get a 3-week gig on Princess.
And then they flew me off the ship.
And then 3 months later, they forget. They call me back. Hey, you want to come back to Ripa? Sure.
See, I don't know how I would handle it. I really don't. I was telling the girlfriend this. I don't know how it would be like, hold on, we're taking you off tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like, what? What did I do? Can I fix this?
I got fired with Jonathan Winters. And got thrown off in Malta. Speaking of Malta, where we're going. Last time I was in Malta was when they threw me and Jonathan Winters off.
Oh, he got thrown off too.
Yeah.
So you didn't feel bad.
They thought I was dirty, and then he did his show the next night, and he said fuck 20 times. I never said fuck, but I had sexual innuendo in the back. And it was a really rich ass boat full of rich fucking people going through the Suez Canal into the Mediterranean. They threw us off in Malta, and I'm like, oh my god, I get fired hanging out with an 85-year-old fucking comic. But that's the way ships were.
They just,
you know, they took a shot, they took a chance, and you know,
don't like it, get it off.
Yeah. And comics would tell me, well, why'd you do your act? I go, well, why wouldn't I do? Well, get Milton Berle's joke book, do Milton Berle's act. Well, everybody knows Milton Berle never wrote a joke. He stole
his jokes.
Exactly. So you know, everybody was, you know, take my wife, please, shit. And it's like, I'm not that guy. I'm not from the Catskills. I'm either going to do, you know, modern style stand-up comedy, or fuck you, I'll go work somewhere else. There's always work.
Well, I think the audience is now, like, not only are they the Woodstock people, just think back, stand-up has been very popular in America now for, what, since the 70s, for sure, for definitely, you know. So
I'd say since the 50s with Bob Newhart.
Well, that's the albums. I mean, they're aware of that. But I say, as far as comedy clubs, when they kicked in the late 70s and 80s, so give the fact that most people have been to a comedy club, mm-hmm. that's what they're used to. So you give them something less.
Or watch comedy on HBO. I mean, HBO's been doing raw stand-up comedy for probably
that's true.
25, 30 at least. Years now.
So now people they're definitely used to it. Yeah. So I think that now is the perfect time, because I can't imagine going to a bad comedy show. There's nothing worse than bad stand-up comedy. So if you go in there and you got a guy going...
Last week they had a guy on in the main room, who I will not name.
Uh-huh. Come on.
No. Okay. Because he worked for a celebrity, but he was doing Paul Lynn's act, pretending he was doing an impression of Paul Lynn. Don't talk about crazy, you know. I'll tell you about kinky. You want to talk about kinky, you know. You know, one guy uses a feather in a chicken. You know, one kinky, they use the whole chicken! You know. I'm looking at, first of all, our little 25-year-old dancer from Sin City Comedy, who's just in a coma. Her mouth hanging open. She can't believe how fucking bad it is. Then I'm looking at the old man next to her, and they're all just sitting there on their elbows.
Because they've...
On the thing. And
it's bad.
There you
go,
man. They're people think that's old, 60s. But again, 60s is not old. These are guys that, you know, watch Carlin and Pryor and shit.
Right.
And they're looking at this fucking asshole doing this cheesy kiss up to 80-year-olds shit, because he's obviously been a cruise ship comic for too long. And he's got a whole 5-minute, you know, little speech in the middle of, you know, hey, if this offends you, it's just stand-up comedy. Boing, boing, it's just comedy. You know?
Boing, boing. Which reminds me of something I thought of the other day. Jimmy Burns and I were actually talking about this, Jimmy, L.A. comic. Do you remember a period where everybody had a noise that was like at one point, but there was a period like Charlie Callis and all those, there was a Lenny Clark or Schultz, I remember, but everybody had a like every comic had a
Foster Brooks and the drummer.
So there was a period where that was the deal. You had to have a, it was, what
a
was your
noise? Mine uh-huh. was just trying to remember my act.
That was the noise.
What else is going on? That was the noise of my brain shutting down. And I'm up there going through the filing cabinets. Where the fuck did my act go?
Have you ever
really got to quit smoking pot before I get on stage.
Have you ever done that, though? Like, forget where you are, and then your brain just like
many
the
times.
Computer just starts searching for what connecting word can tie this to the next bit.
Well, usually it's because I forgot a tag, and I'm like, what was that killer tag that used to go in this spot?
And how does it get me to the next
and
joke?
Then I'm sitting there, and then I'll look down and see the audience kind of looking at me like, are you there, dude? Because you look like you got something else to say, but you ain't saying it. Then you realize, oh, shit, they're all staring at me. I better move on.
Well, it happened to me the other night in Denver because I've been trying to work on a bunch of new stuff because I like want to do a new hour if possible at one point. So if you get stuff out of order or you put something here that normally goes here, your brain goes, I don't know where I am. I don't know. Because I thought, oh, I'll do all...
And I did it on last week on the ship. I started doing Vegas jokes. Because, the room here is very Vegas-y. It's, it's 20 minutes of Vegas videos before, So it's Sin City Comedy is a little piece of Vegas, on the ship. And I started experimenting with some of my Vegas jokes because it's, I'm off the coast of California. I'm not in Italy like we are now.
Yeah.
I figured probably 90% of the people in the audience have been to Vegas. And I start going into it. And I realized I haven't done my Vegas bits in so long.
That you don't really even know if you know them or not?
They're fucking covered in dust. And I'm blowing off the dust. Oh, how's that bit go? that was exactly when I caught them looking at me like, dude, are you all right? Are you going to finish this fucking bit?
Yeah, as soon as I could remember the end of it.
And then I got off stage and Cato, our friend David Lucas, goes, boss, you okay? You look like you're spacing out up there. I go, I was. I couldn't remember how the fuck that bit went.
But you pulled it off. Now, I was hearing you guys, David was saying you went off on a little rant on a recent... You flipped off the audience how many times?
He says 34, but I think he's lying.
He did say 34 times.
He says they were starting a drinking game in the back of the room. Every time I flipped off the crowds, they had to do a shot.
But I did like what he said. That, what was the elevator joke? I thought that was great.
And that just happened to me.
Just then?
Just now. 5 minutes ago, coming down here to your cabin. I said, anybody gets on the elevator, stops my elevator, gets on my elevator, goes down one floor, and gets off the elevator, I'm going to fucking stab you. And it just happened. And
then you lazy ass.
Well, these people just saw the look on my face, and then the man goes, oh, I guess we could have walked. And she's like, yeah, I guess so. And I go, yeah, I guess so. And I
hit the closed
door button. I'm like, you fucking assholes. You lazy bastards can't walk down one flight of stairs. And they'll stand there and wait for the elevator for 5 fucking minutes.
Yeah, but they could have already been
down
to the
stairs
next floor.
In 60 seconds. Like, you want to stab them.
And the other one that you said that I heard that I totally can relate to is the way people do not use turn signals around here.
No.
They just stop and...
No apparent reason.
No apparent reason and just turn right in front of you.
Especially at the buffet. Where there's, I don't know what, 8 serving sections?
Yeah.
And everybody's just kind of... in this crazy sort of Grand Central Station kind of feeding frenzy.
And you actually hear, every once in a while.
you got a tray full of food, and then they'll all of a sudden stop and over and throw a 360 into you.
Wait, what is that? I don't have any of that on my plate.
Yeah. Hey, where'd you get them meatballs there, fella?
Like, I'm still amazed. It is all you can eat. It's an open buffet.
All day long.
But people just... They pile.
Like they're never going
like,
to
like, yeah, like they can't get anymore.
That's sickening.
Is that Americans, or is that just...
Well, he's European. Used to be Americans, but we're in Europe now. Those are Europeans that are fat, too.
Oh, really?
People are just, people are pigs. Free food's free food, man.
They do have good food, I have to say, on the celebrity.
Yeah, it's amazing food.
Yeah. Amazing food.
I mean, you got sushi, you got a sushi table, you got a salad bar, you got a hot grill section. They'll grill you a salmon, a steak, a chicken.
There's curry. There's the
curry
curries.
Area, sandwiches area. I mean, yeah, they got a ton of great shit.
And then everything's like sugar-free, gluten-free. Because everything's got to be gluten-free now, by the way. I don't know if you're into that. Are you in? Is that your lifestyle yet?
I like having diarrhea.
Is that what it? See, I haven't been able to figure out. I was talking to Joe Rogan the other night. I was at the Ice House in Pasadena. Joe came in, and we were talking about something, and he said, this beer is gluten-free. The beer that I'm drinking is gluten-free. And like, what is gluten-free beer? And I said to Joe, how do you even know if you need to be gluten-free? Or everybody needs to be gluten-free.
Well, you can tell the bread here in Europe. is gluten free.
You can tell the difference?
Yeah, just like that pizza we ate today.
How much different it tastes.
You can tell how pliable the dough is and how thick it is and heavy it is. Because gluten in America, you know, it makes the bread bubble up. So you have this great big loaf of bread, which is about 60% air. So it looks like a big loaf of bread. You buy a bread dollar.
Right.
But if you weigh it, it's literally an ounce of fucking flour that's been blown up into a loaf of bread. And that's part of, you know, the magic of gluten. Whereas you get a roll, and you get a roll over here in Italy tomorrow, get a roll of lunch, and it takes all 10 fingers to rip that fucker in half.
Yeah.
You know, and it's thick ass, you know, hard, chewy bread. It's awesome.
Well,
you can tell.
But you've never been told that you need to be gluten free or anything like this. I always wonder when people are like, I can't have gluten. Well, how do you know you can't have it? That's what I still do. Is there some test you have to take, or to just like, you just feel better if you don't get it? Because that's what I can't figure out about the whole gluten free diet.
Oh, they smoke gluten free pot, so they all start worrying about it.
That's when they worry about it. This pot's gluten free.
Through all the shit I've done to my body in the last 54 years, why am I going to start worrying about fucking gluten now? I'm on a cruise ship, for Christ's sake. Kill me now. I don't give a fuck what it takes. Just fucking kill me.
That's what I wrote an email to my manager in London, and it said, I'm going over to Rome, working a cruise ship. Yeah, I'm one of those people now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not bad, but I think people, like we've talked earlier, have this concept of, we're
on a submarine. Mm-hmm. Like, we're in the Navy.
That's it. It's over. Could go down.
It's nice.
Somebody could torpedo
us. You got a nice cabin.
I have a handicap room, by the way. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, you do.
I have an actual handicap room. There, the bathroom, the shower is all one room.
That's cool.
The toilet and the shower are next to each other. You just turn the shower on and it
runs.
You
know what I got to do this week, though, just once, is go get a wheelchair.
And try to get it around in here?
And just cruise around in here and pull it in there. And turn on the shower. You've got to take a shower in a wheelchair.
I got you.
For all of you out there that are handicapped, don't get pissed off. But
I'm going to send him a letter.
That would be kind of cool. It's kind of cool. I mean, look how wide the door is.
The door. I have a button.
Louis Anderson would feel like a skinny little bitch in this room.
I like the fact that
I love this room. It's so slimming.
You need more love in your life. That's what he told me that years ago when Louie and I first met. He used to come to Denver, worked at Comedy Works. One time he goes, "You're very funny, but you need more love in your act." What? He goes, "You're angry. Your comedy's angry. You need more love."
He put his hand on my knee backstage at the Comedy Store when I was young. Kind of goes, "How famous do you want to be?" And I said, "Not that famous, Louie. Get your fucking hand off my knee."
I think Louie's a great guy and very, very funny.
I love Louie.
But I love Louie. That'd be a good name for a show. I love Louie. But I love the fact that I don't have to even go all the way to the door to open the door.
Yeah, you hit the handle and then it opens up.
I've got one of those things just like at the mall. I can hit the button from over here and the door opens. I guess that's so. If I hit it now and my scooter,
what kind of room you got?
Scooter makes it to the door.
You can scooter around this entire room.
I got a hover around.
I mean, this is a nice room. I'm jealous. I got a little bitty room. Speaking of, I got to go get my room.
Yeah, you don't have a room yet, so.
No.
All right. Well, we can wrap this up and then we'll do another one another day. Because normally I do it like 30 minutes, so. 33 minutes. We've made it to the show. We even got champagne delivered during the.
Perfect.
During the show, so we're done.
We'll have more stories after we do some ports.
That's right. We'll have more stories after you get a couple cocktails in you, too. All right, we'll see you.
Bye, America.
In the basement of the mud flap house, fluffing and poo, and their underwear thing raising news. and pool elixir self, and Flap contemplates manly things. He thinks about guns and trucks and Stooges three, men and boys, and that doesn't sound right. He thinks about booze and bacon and power tools. Come with me, let your mask you leave. Oh, won't you come with me and remind?